All right, you can follow me on Twitter right now at J Church Radio. All right, at J Church Radio. It's live to my left, and I want to watch this in real time. Who knows who that was that we just played in that bumper music? Right? Let's see. I want to see Twitter light up at J Church Radio. Our guest tonight is Douglas Rushkoff. Now, finally, there is a dating and friendship site to meet others with similar interests, like what we do here on Coast to Coast every single night. And you can find your match that shares all of these in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and conspiracy theories. Paranormal Date now has over 55,000 members, and it's completely free to check out. You can do it right now. Use the promo code George. You're going to get a 40% discount. Paranormal Date is also available free on iOS, Android apps, and you can also, when you're there, check out the companion site, conspiracydate.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. We're taking calls, and our guest is Douglas Rushkoff. We'll be right back. You guys are smart. The late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. You got to love it. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Let me tell you, it's live to my left, and I am reading it. Great responses. All right. Our guest tonight, Douglas Rushkoff, truly a documentarian, a lecturer. He focuses on human autonomy in the digital age. He's one of the smartest, and he's why I go out and get answers. That's exactly what we're doing tonight. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies to Monty in Grass Valley, California. Monty, you're up next.
Thank you so much, Mr. Rushkoff. I have something you'd be interested in hearing about. I don't know if you're familiar with Manly Palmer Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. Well, I was in the Philosophical Research Library, which is this fantastic library, his collection, and I found this giant book. It's actually bigger than the Bible, called History of the Swastika, which was printed in 1898 by the Smithsonian. And so I'm going through it, right, and I'm looking at all the different cultures that use the swastika. And I swear I would bet all the money that I have that Hitler read that book. Without a doubt. And I almost could see him sitting in the library reading the book, just like I was sitting there reading it. And it's funny you mentioned Genesis P. Orridge, because I used to be in Psychic TV at one time. And I have one more comment, and that'll be it. It's kind of funny that I got through to you, too.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. I dropped Monty. Monty, call back. I literally bumped the phone with my pen, and that was not intentional. Monty, I apologize for that. In the meantime, let's go to David in South Austin, Texas. My bad. David, you're up next.
Hey, well, first of all, God bless Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, you're right about that, David. And yeah, Austin, sir. Texas, so there you go. You know what time it is.
Yes, sir, I do. Jimmy, good to hear you. And, Doug, hey, love the comments and everything you're saying tonight. I got a big question to ask you, but a couple of quick comments. You know, like you're talking about the swastika and the Churchill when he put up the victory symbol. I got a message somewhere, you know, to the energy of the universe, you know, where it says that, you know, I want to move on past all those two symbols and stuff. And if you hold your fist up in the air with your fingers all nice and tight and you put up the 1, 2, and 3,
right,
it looks like a crown. And then within that 1, 2, and 3, I go with the spirituality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Interesting.
And within, like you said, the eyes the other day, just a minute ago, you said looking in the eyes of people around you and getting that one-on-one, and within there's the energies. And we are God as God is us, you know, here's my question. From where and whom held and carried the womb of the internet? Where did it appear? From whose garage? And I'll hang up and say, hey, y'all have a Merry Christmas and God bless USA.
Yeah, you got it, David. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It wasn't a garage entrepreneur who came up with the internet. It was government workers. You know, originally what they were doing was looking for a way to create a network that would be resilient enough to withstand a nuclear attack. So how could the scientists of the world, or America really, and all the people who are in charge of the various nuclear facilities and defense things, how would they be able to communicate, you know, if the satellites were shot down, if the phone systems weren't working, who could still be connected? So that was part of the original challenge of the internet. You know, and it ended up being kind of more useful for scientists to talk to each other than to serve as a war thing. It became almost the social aspect of the net took over, and everyone was sharing stories about Star Trek rather than doing work on the thing.
That's right.
But that's the garage, as it were, that it came out of.
Let's go. We got Monty back, by the way. So let's pull in Monty. Monty, really quick. You were on your question. So there you go.
Yeah. So I was going to say, have some, you know, faith in the millennials, because a lot of them don't want to be a brand. You know, and I was wondering if you were familiar with Manly Palmer Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages.
Okay, there you go, Monty. Thank you for getting back. Okay, I really appreciate it. That was my bad. So yeah, Manly P. Hall, you know.
I mean, I love the story. You know, the story of that, of the book though that he found. Yeah, and him imagining Hitler reading it. I'll tell you, the people who did read it would have been Himmler and Rudolf Hess, who were the kind of the chief occultists around Hitler. They were you know, sort of higher level, more researched people. So I think they were the ones who probably brought the image to him, and you know, it's also because it's, you know, it has an Aryan history as well. But about millennials, it's funny, I do find a lot of them are now reacting against this weight. I mean, and millennials believe in climate change and fixing things. Millennials are the ones who understand that these jobs don't really mean anything, who don't even want jobs because they know that there's already stuff in abundance and we don't really need everyone working. You know, there's a lot of hope in that generation because they're idealistic in a way that makes them see that the machines really are missing something that people have.
Yeah, that's a whole show in itself, and we should get you back to actually, you know, we could literally cover that probably in a part one and part two. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Ursula in Meade, Washington. Ursula, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Doug, I have one question for you. What did Hitler do with the Spear of Destiny?
I knew that question was coming up, Doug. Thank you, Ursula.
Well, Hitler, you know, he got the Spear of Destiny, but he put it in the basement of a church, of I think it was St. Catherine's Church, and then it actually got moved to somewhere else, to a museum in Austria, I think. And Patton, when he was going through after the Normandy invasion and all, he got the spear. So the American soldiers took possession of the spear, and 5 days later, Hitler killed himself. So really, whoever had the spear, seemed to win the thing.
Yeah, it didn't quite play out the way they needed it. Let's go to the international line. Let's go to James up in Canada. James, welcome to Coast.
Yes, how you doing? Good to talk to you guys tonight. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I want to say that the technology out there is great, and it's interesting. But the fact is that you can also see that it's making things people more immoral. I think what it really comes back to, the fact is, I asked you this question, is if you become more immoral and more evil, do you become smarter? I don't think that you do. And I think the fact is that we have to focus on our souls, ourselves. That's what's going to win in the end. Because if you want to go to the Christmas theme, if you take a look at every generation, it's always needs a savior, and it still needs a savior now. The fact is that mankind can never rule himself; he'll destroy himself. And you took out the movie The Time Machine. It happens. We can only be ruled by the Creator. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, James. Interesting comment, though. You know, lack of morals or the downward spiral doesn't make you smarter. Interesting.
No, it doesn't. If anything, you know, the more evil you get, the less free will you have. You know, that was the great teaching
Right.
in the Bible when God says, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart." You know, and what he means is that, you know, as the Pharaoh does more and more evil things, his range of choices go down. You become uncreative. So you might be clever, but you're not intelligent.
Let's go to first time caller line, Blaine or Jesse in Blaine, Washington. Jesse, you're up next.
Hello. I'm Jesse, first-time caller, long-time listener and study. Thank you guys a lot. Been there for me.
Right on.
I really like what you're saying about connecting the human and the social, and I just want to know the standout individuals in the star idol culture that could have been crafted or, you know, just found and beautiful, you know. Were they trying to convey us messages? Do you know what the messages are to be connecting inwardly and socially, like you were saying? And one other thing, do you think they reverse these movements for corporate gain and dumbing down of our culture? Give us the movement and back it with the symbols and stuff that the true artists, they didn't want to give us that kind of message.
Jesse, best call of the night. Thank you so much for that. Doug?
Well, I mean, celebrities of the rock and roll era when we were kids, I mean, what they were telling us was, you know, to love one another, all you need is love. They were, you know, what was coming through that early, even though it was corporate and mainstream,
Right.
the artists had enough control to express love one another through this. Let's be, you know, you know, peaking with the kind of Stevie Wonder era you know, both love and outrage and humanity.
Right.
In the interactive kind of reality TV era, we do manufacture celebrities with no talent at all. I mean, naturally, Paris Hilton was kind of the first one that she actually had a show, a reality show, about how she couldn't do any job. You know, as if she was proving the point that she is pure celebrity. There is absolutely no competence. There's nothing special about her other than her celebrity. That's the kind of the Kardashian quality. And
Well,
that's what, you
the
know.
Brady Bunch had Johnny Bravo, remember, with Greg Brady. I'm saying that in jest, but what I mean by that is pop culture is almost okay with it today.
Right. Pop culture is because there is this sense, and that's the push button sense, that happiness and celebrity and all those things don't require human effort or work. It's you just find the right button. You find the right American Idol contest and get on, and you're an instant pop star. I mean, that's, you know, that's why people always joke, you know, what would happen if they put Bob Dylan on The Voice? You know, he'd be buzzed out. No one would turn their chairs for the guy.
He wouldn't make it past the auditions, Doug. You know that. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Let's go to Andrew out in Detroit. Andrew, you're up next.
Hello, Jimmy.
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Rushkoff. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hi, I was wondering if Mr. Rushkoff could elucidate a little more for me on the alleged relationship between the summon being known as Lamb and Crowley. And specifically, Mr. Rushkoff, do you believe that Lamb was some form of ET or interdimensional that had some type of energetic emanations that maybe imbued a little too much terrifying power upon Crowley? Because Crowley seemed to be very terrified of this creature.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you for the phone call on that. And Doug, you and I have talked about this before. And Lamb was probably the first real image of a gray, right?
You know, it's interesting. It's hard to know for sure. I mean, and I know different people have different beliefs, but where was Crowley actually traveling? What region of you know, what dimension was he in? You know, was he actually seeing external entities in other dimensions, or was he projecting these entities into those places? You know, was he exploring, you know, the brain or the mind or the soul or something internal to him
Right.
or to us?
Right,
You know,
right.
so I tend to think it's more that it's a that he was rendering these beings, but that these are things that we would find too. The interesting thing is, it seems like as you chart those realms, which is what Crowley was doing, going out there and then writing down everything he saw, you're also solidifying your version of that realm. So when other people go there, they're going to see the things you see. Now, some of them are probably just, you know, the structures that we all see, but the interpretations of what those are kind of belong to the first one who ventures out there.
Let's take one last call. Let's go to Lynn in Canada. Lynn, we're headed towards a break here, so really quick, say hi to Doug.
Hi, Doug and Jimmy, both of you. It's a great subject. I'm very familiar with Crowley and his history. Read about him much. You know, he was seeking truth and went deep and too deep that he got lost. But I was want to go on Himmler and Hess with Hitler. They were with the Thule Society, you know, the Thule, Thule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And taking the occult from there, like that was a strong force. I watched documentaries that I have, you know, tape with Hitler actually giving out the occult spells to the audience, you know, to the groups of people. And I wasn't aware, but I saw their eyes. You know, I thought their eyes are changing, like what's going on? Till later, you know, they said they used to put it out to the public. And they would cast spells. That's how advanced they were. And they would do experiments. So Hitler himself was a very dark, you know, dark. They said he had a presence, you know, that just made people shudder. But his eyes were very, very dark. And I think that a lot of people, we get pulled the wool over our eyes today because we are still spiritually in the dark about the laws and the way. And we need a lot of... not so much material, but we need to learn a lot about the spiritual realms, you know, because we're spiritual beings inside.
And you're
a lot of good points.
You're absolutely right, Lynn. And thank you for the phone call. And as I start to say goodnight here, Doug, it is so important for you to get your message out. And you are truly one of the brightest people that I know. But how can people get to your books? Do we brick and mortar you?
I mean, ideally, yeah, you go to your local bookshop, or if you don't have one, you go to, you know, Indie Books and you know, get your books that way. But, you know, getting the material is more important. You know, you can go to BNN or Amazon or whatever there is and get, I mean, this is a fun comic. I guess it's easiest to get online. It's a graphic novel, this Alistair and Adolf book. But there's another one I did called Throwing Rocks at the Google Bus, which really looks at this, you know, the way technology is waging war on us and the way corporations attack us through it, you know, both as laborers, as consumers. That's kind of cool. And then there's another one I did called Present Shock, which looks at what's happening to humans in a digital age, you know, from a really humanistic perspective to say, how do we retrieve our souls here, you know, before it's too late.
I wanted to
come to rushcuff.com. It's my own. The link's on your site, rushcuff.com, and then you can find out anything I do there.
Really quick, the exposés and the public speaking that you have done on Google and what is going on there, and have you had any backlash? Has Google picked up the phone? Have they said, wait a minute, now we need to defend ourselves on this? Has it been anything like that, or have they said, you know what, Doug's right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, they only call when I say something about legislation or laws. They've got these lobbyists in D.C., you know, who call to really, you know, influence public opinion on what gets passed. But I will tell you that, you know, my anti-Google or anti-big tech company stance, it got me banned at TED. You know, won't let me speak there.
And that's what, Doug, thank you for coming on tonight, because that's when you know you are right. Douglas Rushkoff, everybody. All of his links are over at Coast to Coast AM. It's Open Lines next. Stay with us. Check this out. Household spirits. They've been around for centuries. I know you've got one. I've got a few over at the house. But most such mythical creatures, they double as gods of fire and agents of chaos. So failing to tend to their needs can lead to missing items and broken dishes around your house. That's right. As you prepare your home for the holidays this year, here are some tips on how to keep your household spirits in good standing. Check out the story right now over in the news on coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It is Friday night. That means open lines, your phone calls next. Let's do this, man. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. During the break, I'm just going to let everybody know that everybody here in the studio has been discussing the reference that I just did, which was to the movie You Fill in the Blank. I want to see it light up on Twitter right now, at J Church Radio. Who knows the reference that I just made right there? Dan says it ain't going to happen. And I said, oh, no, the Coast audience knows what time it is. It's Friday night. It's open lined. Let's do this. Let's go to first-time caller. First up, Friday night, Julie in Ontario, Canada. Julie, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy Church. What a pleasure to chat with you. I'm thoroughly enjoying your show. Earlier, just a little bit earlier, you asked what the connection was to the occult with the swastika, and I know what that connection is.
What is it, Julie?
I've been reading German Elder Futhark runes for years. They're incredible. The runes are the first language,
right,
that was written down in Germany years and years and years ago. I mean, centuries and centuries ago.
That's right.
And when I read the runes, the most amazing things happen. People react very, very much. The runes are well known by many people. The most beautiful of all the runes is the swastika. It is lovely. It means sunlight. It means light. And everyone knows whose name means light.
Right.
It's Lucifer.
Right.
Now there's your connection with the swastika and the occult.
Interesting, Julie. Very interesting. And what do you
know that?
Well, before I let you go, thank you for the phone call, but let me ask you this. When we talk about that kind of symbology and iconography and what is going on in the world today with corporate logos, what do you think about that when you're driving down the street or commercials and your cell phone and computers? They're everywhere now. And
overload,
most have.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's right.
Correct.
What do you think is going on?
I think people are angling for your attention and your money, and they want the power of that. But we can turn off that income quite easily. And as your wonderful guest suggested, you can make decisions regarding these things and affect your kids the same way.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I was watching the reaction here, and I got a bunch of texts, too, that came in about that. And making decisions and changing mentality based on the symbolism and the logo. Very powerful message. Julie.
When we want to stay on the side of pure goodness.
That's right.
We can do that too.
That's right.
Goodness works. It makes the world live. It makes everything live. It makes everything good and right. And peace reigns in goodness.
That's exactly right, Julie.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, let me say good night and have a great holiday season. Okay.
And you too, both of you. It's a wonderful show, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. That's what I'm talking about right there. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Brent in Brighton, Michigan. Brent, you're up next on Coast.
Good evening, Jimmy.
How you doing, Brent?
Okay. Snowy, wintry night, that's for sure. Several of your callers tweaked my memory about the New World Order. You look at the back, as I'm sure you have, of a $1 George Washington note, and you see this truncated pyramid, right?
Yep.
Then there's a phrase in a foreign language. What foreign language is that?
I believe it's Latin.
It is. Anui septis novus ordo seclorum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, and their private stockholders, according to Andy Gauss, who's been a guest on Coast, predominantly the Wall Street bankster gangsters, and then their counterparts in Europe. And it all originates with good old Rothschild and this swastika symbol came up in a tweak my memory about the hexagram. The hexagram is Rothschild's official emblem, and it just happens to be the same emblem that is on the Israeli flag, the so-called Star of David or six-pointed star.
Mm-hmm.
And history does record, in fact, in Austin, Texas, there's a full bird colonel retired. I know you know about Jim Mars. Have you ever heard of Tex Mars?
Of course.
So Tex Mars authored a book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, where he goes into intimate, historic, documented fact on all of this and its connection to big-time, aristocracy families, such as Rothschild. And what I'm getting at here, Jim, is the fact that in the Constitution, there is no provision anywhere for Congress to delegate away their mandated fiduciary monetary economic obligation duties at all. And yet they did that in 1913. And how did they do it? I recently learned of H.R. 5372 on 15 November, late in the day, the rules of the House were suspended.
What?
So that only eight of the Congress critters who were there. The legislative act is called called Caesar-Syrian Civilian Protection Act. It's the framework for establishing a no-fly zone, an act of war in Syria.
Okay, Brent, listen, I'm trying to follow you here. We were talking about symbolism and the six-pointed star and the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, and I'm with you on all of that. But now I'm just trying to follow. Where are you going with this?
Yeah. So it's almost enigmatic and mystifying. Most people would never consider that we have these secret society entities all throughout society in the highest echelons. You name it, they're there. Their brethren are there. Skull and bones, whatever. Okay, but be that as it is, like the Georgia Guidestones, another example, right? Reduce the world's population to what, 500 million or less? Okay, so how do we fight back, Jim? I'm suggesting to everyone that based on the fact that we used to have silver certificates, right, backed by silver dollars. JFK had silver dollars in circulation June of 63 when he began printing U.S. Treasury notes, which could easily have been silver certificates. So we really need to focus on our recourse, our actionable recourse here. And it's right there, Jim. The Constitution, in fact, prohibits Congress from delegating away their mandated authority or duties, obligations with respect to the monetary system. Okay?
Brent, let me jump in. You're exactly right. And one of the things for me when it comes to, for all of us, when it comes to laws and who, the jurisdictions, not only over the Fed, but tax laws and liabilities, it gets so complex that I don't think that there are any experts out there. I don't think there is anybody that knows exactly what is going on with Wall Street, with the Fed, with mortgage, with interest rates, with the complexities of derivatives and stocks and stock trading and international trade. Nobody knows. There isn't an expert. And you are exactly right, Brent. I want to thank you for that phone call. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Pasquale, right here in Santa Barbara, California. You're up next.
Jimmy Church, I am impressed with your interview skills. Plus, you got this person to communicate so well, the last caller. My total image of you has been changed, elevated, miles higher.
Well, Pasquale, I'm just the same as you. I just happen to be here on this end.
My mind gets foggy, but that man made some really good points, and you kind of went with him. But I just wanted to cover one point, but can I respond? I wanted to share a few things, but I promise I won't talk more than 150 seconds. Can you afford 150 seconds?
Okay, the clock is rolling. Go.
Okay. So I called for something else, but this man brought up something. I had a friend who was an historian, born in Russia, went to a school in China because they were on the border. And he was a kind of a devotee of history, and he was German ancestry. And he told me there's one thing he found out from reading, extensive reading, that he never really heard anywhere else except in some rare books. But he said that, I can't remember if it was before or around the First World War, but at one time there was a Kaiser, and he gave 80% of his treasury, which was mostly gold and stuff, to the Rothschild bankers to get militia from, I think, France.
That's right. That's right.
And they took the money, and they went to England, and they never gave the money back, thereby depleting the treasury of 80%. And he said that was like a severe blow. So you heard of that too?
Yeah, I've absolutely, absolutely. I've read it. That, you know, I wasn't around back then, but it certainly has been out there, and I've seen that pop up. Yes.
So the reason I called, let me talk faster. The reason I called was this last person, he's great. I give him an 80%, which is really good. But the part where I don't give him a good rating is we don't really know. This is my point. The university systems, they have a new type of intelligence. It's called post-something. Somebody was explaining it to me, but now they're using computer models, but they're not really doing science like we were raised to think science is, and they don't have peer review. They're rejecting that. And I have an uncle that's a physicist. I called up on a radio show, spoke to that Japanese professor, you know, Michio Kaji or whatever his name is.
Sure.
And I couldn't understand. He said absolutely true global warming, but I called my uncle up, who's a famous physicist, and he said, it's not true. We cannot measure columns of air. That's the main way heat is gained and lost, through infrared light and heat columns, which we don't have the technology to measure it. It's all models. And so I'm worried about the millennials because they're swallowing this stuff hook, line, and sinker. So because we have someone who doesn't believe in global warming, I wanted to suggest a show, 2 4-hour shows back-to-back with the best of the best, like Tim Ball, all the people that George Norrie has on
right. That
are climate experts that say it's not really global warming. There's other factors. The global warming science is flawed, and I think that that's true. And then the best people in the universities that believe in global warming have a debate, have the points, and then come back like a week later and we'll answer, like each team asks questions of the other, and then we try to get real scientific data. That's what I would like to see.
Exactly. Pasquale, great phone call. And just let me respond to this directly before I take another call. I was talking about this exact subject earlier this week on my program, which is I would think that these answers are right in front of us and very simple to get to on both sides of the fence. Now, the carbon, the pollution, the man-made side of it, I get it, or not. You know, I get that side too, because I listen to both arguments. But the one thing that I don't hear anybody talking about, damn, look at me in my eyeballs. It might be the sun. It just might be the sun. We've been heating and cooling on Earth here way before the invention of the automobile, way before the Industrial Revolution, way before this carbon footprint, We just went through the new ice age 10,000 years ago. Think about this for a second. And it heated back up. Now, why? It wasn't because Stone Age man was building campfires. It just might be the sun. All right. I'm just saying, let's go to wild card, Gary in Santa Maria. Gary, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. I was wondering, have you had any of your YouTube videos demonetized by YouTube, Google, or Facebook?
No, Gary, I don't do that, nor do I talk about my YouTube stuff here on Coast to Coast. So there you go. Let's go to Wild Annie in Alabama. Annie, welcome to Coast.
Hey, I'm calling about some skeletons, giant skeletons, that I'm hoping that the thieves might have overlooked in the Smithsonian. I know they probably took most of them, but a thief usually bungles something. And because of that, and because the Smithsonian doesn't really know what all they've got, I think there's something creepy in the basement that should be dug up. I just feel like it's got to be there at least one.
You know that's right, Annie. You know there is something going on, don't you?
Yeah, and they might not have gotten them all. I'm hoping they didn't. But these iPhones I was telling you about,
yeah,
I've designed a new case for the iPhone. It's called the Fatback iPhone. It's a new case, and you get rid of those pentalobe screws. Get you a pentalobe screwdriver for $7 and dump all those and use regular screws if you can find some that fit. And this little Fatback is going to enable you to redesign it so that the battery will pop out and the back will pop off.
Right.
It's slightly fatter. It's going to be called the Fatback iPhone. And it's not going to be a duct tape job. Somebody's going to manufacture these in China for about $4.
Probably, Annie. I remember you and I talking about that a couple of months ago. Annie, you have a great, safe holiday season, okay?
I've got an old iPhone that I'm tinkering with. It's so much fun.
Yeah, when you get it right, let us know, okay?
I sure will.
Thank you, Annie. All right, let's go to, let's see, who's on hold the longest here? Let's go east of the Rockies, Texas, and Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Texas, you're up next.
Howdy, how y'all doing?
I'm doing good.
Fukushima and that disaster. I looked at the years and the amount of water flow into the ocean. March of next year, it'll be 4,380,000,000 gallons.
Man, Texas, thank you for the phone call. The one thing that flips me out is the media response and coverage, or the lack of, when it comes to Fukushima, you know, and the amount of fish that we consume and sushi and so forth, and the lack of coverage on Fukushima. It freaks me out. Why? I know something is going on, and they just don't want to talk about it. But we will. This is Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Open lines Friday next.